will regularly put us in a position where we will have to make a choice.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the question God forces us to face when we've been too blessed.
Am I too big for this? Or do I want my problem solved?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The do-it-yourself mentality is alive and well in this country, but when we carry that attitude into our spiritual lives, Dr. Evans says there's trouble ahead. Today, he explains how self-sufficiency can be deadly when it comes to dealing with the spiritual curses in our lives. Let's join him.
We find in 2 Kings a man who had a problem. We're introduced to a great man named Naaman. We're told that he was highly respected. In other words, everybody looked up to Naaman. So he was a successful man. He was a great man. He was a respected man. He had victory after victory. So he was a successful man. The Lord delivered him, so he had religion. He had recognition. The man was on top of the world. If it wasn't for that one word, but, I got this one problem that I can't shake. He had rank, but he was a leper. Reputation, but he was a leper. He was successful, but he was a leper. This addendum to this man speaks volumes. It would be like a skin cancer, if you will. It started as a little spot on the skin that began to spread. An incurable disease. There was no cure for leprosy. Unlike cancer or a skin cancer, leprosy was contagious. So when the leprosy reached a certain scope, according to Leviticus 13, you would have to be separated from your family, from your friends, from your social environments, so that no one else would catch it. Which means that there was a stigma tied to leprosy. So it was physically debilitating. It was contagious. You could mess up other folks' lives with it. And it was a stigma because you were a social outcast. It's sort of like the stigma of HIV. That sense of shunning when you hear somebody has got it. They are infected. There is this backing away because of its transferability. So you see, when you read this footnote in the life of a man named Naaman, it is a significant footnote. Leprosy, being a physical problem, also had spiritual implications because one of the things God said to his people was, when you walk away from me, you will be cursed with all these diseases. Such is the saga of a great man named Naaman. So when Israel and Aram were in conflict with one another, in one of the raids, they captured a little girl, probably a teenager. And this teenager is now a servant girl to the captain's wife. She said to her mistress, verse 3, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy. The little girl makes a casual suggestion that the wife takes to Naaman that starts a cycle of events that we're going to look at here momentarily that's going to change this man's life, all because a slave girl, a no name, a nobody, a person you would say, why even listen to her? She doesn't have education. She doesn't have social status. She doesn't have economic standing. She doesn't have anything that the world would view as recognizable. But she comes up with the biggest piece of advice for one of the biggest people in the land. Now, why do I want to call attention to this girl? Because I want to share briefly a principle with you for your cure, or the cure, the curse's cure for anybody you know. And that is a principle stated in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, which simply says, watch how you treat folk you don't know. For through it, calls them strangers in Hebrews 13, 1. He says, through it, you have entertained angels unaware. Watch out for strangers. He's particularly talking about believers, because he starts off with brotherly love in chapter 13, verse 1 of the Hebrews. So he's talking about believers who you don't know. You're not intimately associated with them. There is either a non-knowledge of them or very casual knowledge of them. But he says, be careful how you relate to them, because some and many have entertained angels unaware. Now, the Greek word angel is from the word angelos, and the word angelos means messenger. Spiritual angels are messengers of God sent to act on God's behalf in history. Messenger can refer to an angel like surrounding the throne room of God, but the word is also used in the Bible of human angels, that is, human beings who were used as messengers of God. What I want you to know is, one of the ways many times that God brings specific answers to our specific problems are through vehicles through which we would not expect it. We wouldn't expect this girl to have an answer for my problem unless all of a sudden you give value to people who know God. See, when you have an incurable problem, that means degrees can't fix it. Education can't fix it. Economics can't fix it. It means you need somebody who's in touch with God. The little girl said, there's a prophet in Israel who can save your life. He goes to the government gives him some money, affirmative action program. Said, well, we're going to pay for this thing. Because if we throw enough money at it, we can fix your problem. But the prophet, representing God's approach to things, says, go to the Jordan River, wash yourself in it 7 times, and you're going to be all right. Naaman's ticked off. He's ticked off because the answer he got wasn't the answer he wanted. The answer he received wasn't the answer he preferred. The approach that came from the prophet wasn't the approach he expected given the position he was in. I'm Naaman. I'm captain of the army. I'm a high roller. Okay? You know, I'm a baller. I'm a shot caller. I'm the man. I drive this kind of car. I carry this kind of money. I walk with this kind of entourage. I move like this. It's just who I am. So I thought, based on my history, my background, my experience, how I was raised, the job I have, the money I make, I thought, based on how folk talk to me when I come in, Mr. Naaman, because I have my own private secretary, administrative assistant, because I am the supervisor, the manager, I am the captain, I thought given who I am, ain't nobody gonna be talking about what this fool talking about. Okay, let's find out what he thought. Because see, one of the reasons that a lot of us haven't been cured from our spiritual curses is because we thinking. Now, I don't mean God doesn't want us to think. The problem is, I thought. First of all, I thought he would come out to me. That's the first thing I thought. I thought, given who I am, he wouldn't be sending somebody out to talk to me. Doesn't he know who I am? I'm Naaman, and he talking about, he sent, verse 10 says, Elijah sent a messenger. gonna send a messenger to talk to moi? Me? I thought surely he would come out here and come face to face. And then I thought he was going to do this like real spiritual thing. He was going to come out, call on the name of his God, and wave his hand. I thought he was going to... I thought he was going to zap me. And all of a sudden, I would be okay. Wave his hand into place and cure the leper. That's what I thought. In other words, I had already determined how this is going to work. I had predetermined how my change was going to come. I had predetermined what the method was that the man of God, that God's approach was going to be to turn my situation around. So I'm ticked off. Because the answer I got is not the answer I wanted. So we have to get something straight from the jump street. We have to get something straight from the beginning. If you want God's solution, you have to have God's way. And God's way is regularly, not occasionally, not your way. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are not your ways. Naaman has what many of us have, the big head. He think he's something. But he was a leper. See, God will let a but be in your life to force you to know you really aren't all that. I mean, everybody else may call you all that, and you may think you're all that, but there's a spot on you. You ain't all that. You ain't all that. And the reason I know you ain't all that is the spot that's on you is spreading. It's getting worse, not getting better. You ain't all that. Insult of insult. He calls on Elijah, and Elijah sends his messenger. Insulted. Not only that, he's ticked off about the strategy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. That means huffing and puffing. He says, not only did not he come out and talk to me personally, obviously doesn't know who I am, not only didn't he zap me, because I thought for $1,200,000, a zap will do. A little dab will do you for $1,200,000. But then he's going to tell me go wash in the Jordan. Now, that's a big problem. Now, for those of us who've been to Israel, the Jordan ain't all that. He says, now, if you were going to use that strategy, don't send me to no Jordan. Send me to Abana or Pharpar, because those rivers are beautiful and clean, and all the areas around Damascus that are fed by those rivers are growing great lush greenery. He says, now send me to a place I'm comfortable in. Don't send me to a place I'm not comfortable in, because that's beneath me. That's beneath me. So he went away in a rage.
When Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll talk about the reason behind that rage and the dangers of being too successful and self-sufficient. First, though, I'd like to tell you about a great resource that'll help build up your family's faith and bring you together at the same time. It's a 52-week devotional from Tony and his son Jonathan called the Kingdom Family Devotional. Topics range from basics of the faith like salvation, prayer, and discipleship, to life essentials like handling money, picking friends, and setting priorities. It's meaty enough for mom and dad, and simple enough to keep the kids on board. and we'd like you to have a copy as our gift. All we ask is that you make a contribution, any contribution, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And if you do that right away, we'll include a special bonus, all 10 full-length messages in Tony's current series, The Comeback. But this is a limited-time offer, so visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 before time runs out. I'll repeat our contact information later in the program. Tony will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
In 2017, the New England Patriots overcame a 25-point deficit to win Super Bowl 51. In 2016, the Chicago Cubs and Cleveland Cavaliers both came back, down 3-1, to win championships. These teams had one thing in common. They were down and out and fought their way back to victory. Many of us are in similar situations, feeling overwhelmed from the demands of everyday life. In his new book, Your Comeback, Tony Evans provides the inspiration you need to have your ultimate personal and spiritual comeback. Begin the journey to your comeback today. Available in bookstores everywhere.
This man's leprosy was tied to a sin of pride. In other words, he had been too successful. He'd been, like too many of us, too blessed. So what God has to do every now and again is create a spot that we can't get rid of. Leprosy. And you know it's that kind of spot because nobody you know can fix it. You can't fix it. They can't fix it. A doctor couldn't fix it because it was an incurable disease. Isn't it amazing how religious folk can get when they can't fix it? You remember, like I said before, when 9/11 hit, everybody went to church? Because America ran into a problem we didn't know how to fix. You find out you got an incurable disease, God becomes real important because the doctor says, I can't fix it. But it's not just physical problems. It could be emotional problems, spiritual problems. It could be a number of different things. But whatever it was, he couldn't fix it. Okay, then watch this. I love verse 13. He says in verse 13 these words. He says, then the servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, very respectful, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean? It's always helpful to have folk around you who go move you to the way you should go, not just say yes to everything you say. You see, you know, because, you know, working for him, he in a rage, I'm going to be in a rage too. He mad, I'm going to be mad. He said, Father, in all due respect, if the prophet would have asked you to do something crazy, wild, off the chain, off the chart, you would have gone and done it because you would have said, well, that thing looks significant enough to fix my problem. Well, if you would do a hard thing, why not do an easy thing? You know what this tells me? One of the reasons Naaman was mad was the answer was too easy. God will regularly put us in a position, watch this, where we will have to make a choice to keep our dignity or to get rid of our problem. See, that's the choice he's facing. He's facing, am I too big for this? Or do I want my problem solved? Because to get my problem solved is going to demand the one thing most of us have trouble giving up, and that's our pride. Our significance, our self-evaluation, how big and bad we say or think that we are, and there are many people I deal with who I cannot help, and the reason I cannot help is they want their dignity too much. They want to hold on to their dignity, and as long as he held on to his pride in the face of what God said, would be as long as he would have to deal with his problem, leprosy. Servants told him his cure was easier than you think. We've all seen movies where people get stuck in quicksand. Quicksand is very simply sand and water. That's all quicksand is. It's just sand and water. But the problem is that the water loosens up the sand so that the sand is not compact. So because the sand is not compact, because the water has loosened it up, there's nothing to stand on. It's already pretty movable even when there's no water. Just walking on the sand on the shore, your foot will go down in it. But you mix it with water now, and all of a sudden there's no traction left. The problem is, when a person gets stuck in quicksand, the harder they try to get out, the deeper and faster they go under. In other words, the harder you try, the worse things get, because the nature of the problem of quicksand says, I'm going to suck you down the harder you go. Person who gets stuck in quicksand, who knows how to handle quicksand, doesn't fight to stay up. What they do is simply slowly, carefully paddle underneath, moving an inch here and an inch there until hopefully they can get to a bank. Because the nature of the problem says, the harder you try to get out of this, the deeper you're going to wind up in it. Because you're not using the prescribed approach for the solution. So, verse 14. At the encouragement of folk who worked for him, but who would tell him the truth, he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. So seven times he dipped. You talk about losing your pride. Here is Naaman the captain with an entourage who's got to undress in front of his entourage. Because remember, he's got to wash in the Jordan. So the man got to take off his clothes. And he's got to go down and wash seven times in the Jordan. He goes down once. I can imagine him now looking at his skin, nothing happened. He goes down twice, nothing happening. He goes down a third time, nothing happening. He goes down a fourth, nothing happening. He goes down a fifth time, nothing happening. He goes down a sixth time, nothing happening, because that wasn't the instruction. The instruction was to complete the obedience. One of the reasons we're still having leprosy, stuff that won't go away, is we will not complete the instruction. We'll deal a piece of it and wonder why God hadn't come through. He told Abraham, go kill your son, not just go walk up to the top of the mountain. That's why you don't see God deliver Abraham until the knife is descending. It was at the last moment when obedience was completed that deliverance came. It says at the end of the seventh time, according to the word of the man of the Lord, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And was clean. Whatever his problem was, stopped on a dime. It stopped on a dime. The disease was canceled. That's miracle number one, that the disease was stopped. But the second thing is that the condition was reversed. Now watch this. I got good news for somebody here this morning. Because it says his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child and he was clean. We're talking about a grown man. Like the flesh of a little child? Do you understand the implications of that statement? We're talking about turning back the hands of time. To go back to having the flesh of a little child means that God has given you back the years the leprosy have taken away. That's the word restored, but not till obedience was completed. Somebody in here needs to give God an excuse to bless them. God's just looking for an excuse. You say, but I say, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, 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 no. Has obedience been completed? Or are you just doing two-thirds of it? You done gone down five times and you wonder how come the problem won't go away. You must raise the question, have I completed what God expects me to do? Let me tell you how great God is. God is so great, he can not only fix what's wrong, but give you what's been lost. See, that's why, that's the hope here. That's the hope I want to give you today. That no matter what's been lost, no matter how long the curse has been there, God, if he's given you a leprous situation, is trying to deal with something in your life that needs to be dealt with. In Naaman's case, it was pride. He's trying to deal with something. And if you never make the connection and are never willing to humble yourself to what God is trying to deal with in your life. Let me put it another way. God's first concern for you is not your comfort. God's first concern for you is your character. And if he's got to make you uncomfortable to get a hold of changing your character, he'll let leprosy spread. Because he's after changing your character, not just having you feel better. So that's why the question has to be, God, what is it about me that you want to address? And it will always reduce you in terms of your dignity. When he returned, verse 15, to the man of God with all of his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So Naaman now is saying, now I know. Now I know we've been talking about it, but now I know. See, God wants you to experience him for yourself. Now, I know. Because I ain't piggybacking on somebody else's hand-me-down testimony. Now, I know that he's a mighty God. I know he's a powerful God. I know he's a life-changing God. I know that there's no God in Israel. As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, if you're not going to take my money, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. And one of the areas where people are very confused and make it too hard is how to get to heaven. It's not your good works. It's not trying. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments. It's dipping in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about it is that he's already completed, paid in full. It is finished. All you got to do is plunge beneath that blood by trusting Jesus Christ as your sin bearer.
And if you've never taken that step of faith, it can happen for you today. Tony would be glad to explain exactly how it works. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click the menu at the top, and follow the link that says Jesus. He's got a video there that explains what it means to be a real Christian. And once you make that decision, there are some free resources to get you started off right. Check it out today at TonyEvans.org. And then, if you'd like a copy of today's message, it's called Reversing Spiritual Curses, and it's available by itself or as a part of Tony's current 10-part series, The Comeback. As I mentioned, when you support Tony's ministry, with any contribution God leads you to make, large or small, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift, along with the book I mentioned earlier, The Kingdom Family Devotional. As always, the details are waiting for you online at TonyEvans.org, where you can browse through our huge library of resources and sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. You can also reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open around the clock for your convenience. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Well, next week, Dr. Evans takes a look at the curses that affect our careers and reveals the self-destructive choices that keep Christians from getting ahead. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.